John chapter 6 and 35 is the verse. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's the first of the seven I ams in the Gospel of John. And he actually repeats this one two or three times in the chapter and says, I am the living bread, I am the bread of life, I am that bread of life. This is our third study on the subject of the bread of life, the first of the seven I ams of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw 2 weeks ago that the incident which led to this subject being in vogue with Jesus and these Jews that he was speaking to, the incident was the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of the loaves and fish. And that was a sign miracle, a signpost, you could say, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week we saw that the amazement of those people who'd been fed and their reaction to the Lord afterwards led to quite a conversation between Jesus and them. And today we want to think about the bread of life itself, compared to the Old Testament bread, the manna in the wilderness, which I'll explain. You probably have read that yourself. Notice though that even though the feeding of the 5,000 was a sign, a signpost, we might say, pointing to the Lord as the provider of lasting satisfaction and eternal life, the people who were fed still asked the Lord, what sign are you going to show us? Which seems rather ironic, because they've just seen one of the most amazing miracles ever performed, where five small loaves and two fish were made sufficient not only to feed 5,000 people, but to provide 12 basketfuls of crumbs afterwards. So they still asked, what sign showest thou? What dost thou work? Well, what are they referring to? Because it's they themselves who formed the crowd that Jesus fed, who made the comparison. They said to the Lord Jesus Christ, that, what sign showest thou? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they drew attention to the manna from the Old Testament. In the book of Exodus, we actually read this morning, it was the people who had formed the crowd, the people who were there, they said, well, isn't this like the manna? Why did they say that? Well, they'd had a night to think about it. And they were Jews, and they were brought up in the synagogue and to go to the temple several times a year, and they were brought up to learn the Old Testament history, and especially the history of the delivery of the children of Israel out of Egypt. They gave thanks for that at the Passover every year, and they remembered that God in Old Testament days gave the people miraculous bread to eat every day that they were in the wilderness, until they came to the promised land and the manna dried up because they didn't need it anymore. It was very early in the journeying of the children of Israel, after they came through the Red Sea, that they started to complain or murmur in an almost unbelievable way about their lot in life. They had been rescued miraculously from dreadful slavery, and in the second month after leaving Egypt, what food they had brought with them was used up, and we read the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And what they said was particularly wicked. Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots, and we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. It wasn't wrong that they felt hungry, but it was wrong that they didn't believe that the God who'd saved them sent 10 incredible plagues upon Egypt and preserved them through all that. The God who had only just recently brought them through the Red Sea and had drowned the Egyptian army that was trying to pursue them. The God who had already miraculously given them water at the pool of Marah, and now that they should disbelieve. Well, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. And he says, this is to test them, whether they will walk in my ways or not. The good news was passed on to the people, and the Lord sent quails, those birds which you get at very expensive prices at the Savoy, in the evening for meat, and this bread, the manna. The people said, what is it? And that literally means manna. That is what the word manna means. And so they called it manna. Well, the Lord, now we come back to the New Testament, when the people asked for a sign, the Lord put them straight about Moses and the manna. They referred to the remarkable provision. They'd been thinking about it. They said, is this a sign? Is he like Moses? And they were comparing Jesus with Moses. And Jesus replied, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. By which the Lord first corrected their thinking. And they were comparing Moses with Jesus as though Moses had magically produced the manna in the Old Testament. Moses gave our fathers that bread to eat. No, Moses didn't give your fathers that bread to eat. But God, and you think he's going to say, God gave you that bread. No, he says, God gives you the true bread from heaven. They're saying, are you able, like Moses, to miraculously provide a bread from heaven? Well, he already had. But it wasn't like Moses. It was like the Lord God, Jehovah, in the Old Testament. In fact, it wasn't Moses, but God. And in fact, it wasn't manna they needed. It was the bread of life, salvation. The need of the soul. That's our second heading. The need of the soul. They were interested now. Verse 34, evermore give us this bread. But they're still clearly thinking about miraculous bread, something which they could see every day, something which they could taste and imagine was sweet as honey. What they really needed was bread for their souls, because of the situation they were in, the starvation of the soul. And that is the state to which God addresses these people, the starvation of the soul. We're starving to death without the bread of life. Starving in our souls, in our spirits, unless the Lord gives us bread. If I can give you a preview of some of the other I Ams, when the Lord wants to meet those who are spiritually blind, the Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world. When he wants to come to the lost, he says, I am the way, the truth and the life. When he wants to come to those who are dead in their sins, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And the same of the other I Ams. And here, it's because of the starvation of the soul. Without real spiritual sustenance, that's the forgiveness of our sins, communion with Christ, being brought back to God, we starve. And it's as though we waste away until our last day if we don't have Christ as our Saviour. The starvation of the soul. This is a little bit morbid, but when a person starves to death, obviously it's a lack of food to his or her body. We can't live without food. The Lord Jesus described himself as the bread of life because our souls are starving for lack of spiritual food. We spend time, money and dedication feeding our bodies, and we have to. We have to work in order to eat. But we don't realise that we're starving to death spiritually. The Lord told them not to labour for the bread which perisheth, but labour for the bread which doesn't perish. The bread of heaven which I shall give you. He tells them that you labour, you work, you have to, in order to get bread. But you should put that same effort, more effort, because your soul is more important than your body. You know, we spend all that time, money, feeding our bodies, but so few people feel any real spiritual need. But occasionally, we feel pangs of spiritual hunger. We don't always know what it is. We feel there's something lacking. You know, when during the day, when you've perhaps skimped on your breakfast, it gets to about 11:30, and you think, oh, I could do with a snack now. There's just a little pang of hunger. The more you think about it, the more you think, I really, really could do with something nice for my lunch today. And well, that's how it is spiritually. Sometimes we just feel there's something missing. There's a little pang of hunger, just a little emptiness that we feel. And sometimes that grows to be quite a significant emptiness. Maybe it's prevalent amongst young people, quite young people who are not yet so hardened by the sin of the world that they do realise that there is a God. Children, even other young people, our souls are sensitive, and we haven't been so blinded fully into thinking we can live happily without God. There's a sense of need. There's a hunger. And many young people, perhaps who went to Sunday school, who read the Bible or had Bible read to them, perhaps went to church or a youth meeting at some stage, begin to feel, you know, I'm missing something in my life. There is something lacking. It could be later, when life has begun to take its toll, that we stop and consider, where am I going? What is life all about? A hunger develops. It's never too late to seek the Lord until it's too late. It's never too late to seek the Lord, to feel that for all we have and all that we've done and achieved and experienced, we are in fact starving of true sustenance for our souls. Contentment eludes us. Have you felt that? Have you got to the point where for all you have, nothing really fills you? Nothing satisfies that craving within for true fulfilment? Well, the Lord Jesus said, labour for the bread of life. We know that labour means work, and we don't get to heaven by work. We get to heaven by grace. We're saved by grace through faith. But there is a labour if we're prepared to put the effort in to seek the Lord, to find him. People can't be bothered, but perhaps in these days, with such stress around us and such a situation that the world is in, perhaps even within the sound of my voice, there will be those who will feel their need and will feel that, yes, we do need to get right with God. Labour not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And in verse 35, this wonderful phrase, I am the bread of life. The Lord Jesus himself is the answer to the starving soul. Complete satisfaction to our deepest need. Imagine a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, who hasn't eaten for a week. The food is given to them. The taste is wonderful. The sense of taking even a small portion into your system strengthens you, satisfies you, filling your stomach. Oh, it's so much more with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have that craving, that longing to be right with God, when it comes, when you know that Christ has saved you, that he has died for you, that he's provided for you and forgiven your sins, that he's going to change your whole direction, and you receive him, you come to him, you believe on him, you trust him fully to save you and accept that he has saved you, and you feel immense satisfaction. You have what you've lacked all your life. You have a new life, eternal life, and you don't hunger and thirst anymore. You don't hunger looking round for some sense of fulfilment. You don't thirst for some satisfaction like water in a desert, because you know you found it in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus. How many testimonies we could give tonight, even people here, and others that we know, and books we read, and people we've known over the years who have found absolute contentment. Oh, they still have problems. We all have those, but we have the Lord to help us through them. So, getting fed. The instruction is implied in verse 35. Christ is the bread of life. He doesn't just give life. He is the life. He's the bread of life. As he gave miraculous bread to those people the day before, now he was prepared to give himself to those who would receive him and believe in him. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. That's what John tells us later in one of his epistles. He says, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You have Christ himself, and you have real eternal life. But the verse says we have to come to him. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. The bread doesn't save you. If you just know that it's there, if you accept that he is the bread of life, any more than knowing that your local bakery produces bread which is full of marvellous nutrition, is fantastic to eat and is necessary for life. Just knowing that doesn't feed you. You have to go and buy it and eat it. This is bread you don't have to buy. The price is paid. And the Lord says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? This bread is the bread of life. How do you come to him? Well, in the first instance, you pray. You turn your eyes upon Jesus and you call upon him. You go to him as the Lord of all, and you tell him you know you are a sinner and that your sin will finally condemn you to a lost eternity, and you ask him to make you hungry. And then ask him to satisfy that hunger. But you have to believe on him. See him on the cross. See all your sins transported over to that cross, to where he paid the price due for them. Take his pardon, his robe. Those soldiers, so foolish, they gambled for his robe to see which one of them would get it, because they didn't want to separate it. And there Christ was offering the eternal robe of righteousness to cover all our sins and our shortcomings and our failings, and to make us presentable to God. Hunger and thirst for the vain, empty pleasures of life, or hunger and thirst for Christ? Then you will never hunger and thirst again once you call upon him. Let me just close with two or three of these wonderful statements in the remainder of this chapter. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Do you see the stages there? First of all, the Father has you in his mind. And before ever Christ died upon the cross, the Father gave you to Jesus. And he said, this is a child for whom you're going to die. And eventually, in your lifetime, every single person that the Father has dedicated to his Son will come to him. None are going to slip away. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord doesn't turn and say, well, no, I don't want this one. He died for us, and he longs that we will come to him. Another verse, verse 39, and this is the Father's will, who hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Once you're in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never let you go. Oh, you may slip, you may have bad days, you may backslide, but he will bring you back. He will never let you go. He will raise you up at the last day. And then the verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me. I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. These are glorious promises which I don't need to explain. The Jews then murmured because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? Their faith wasn't in Christ. They wanted the bread, but they didn't want the implication. And in these verses, many were offended. And we read that Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, what did he mean by that? Well, he meant, believe on me. Literally, we don't eat his flesh or drink his blood. But it means you're so to take me into yourself that it's like eating my flesh. It's like drinking my blood. I become a part of you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He's not talking about the Holy Communion service, the Lord's Supper. He's talking about that which the Supper represents. It represents Christ giving himself for us. And he says, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat the manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Then we read that many of his disciples, those that professed to be Christians, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. And some went away. And then Jesus turned to the disciples, the 12, and he said, will you also go away? Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were offended by the words that he said. And Jesus said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" And here is the evidence of a man who has been born again, received Christ. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, that's enough for us to think about tonight. Jesus, the bread of life, the one who was given for the life of the world. God looked and he saw a famine, and he sent his Son to give life to the world. If we will take that life by taking Jesus and accepting him, receiving him into our hearts, even this night.